You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
Glory to God. God is good, family. I love you all. I love you all. It's such an honor for me to be in your presence to bring the word of God. Thank you so much. I want us to imagine just for a moment a world where our children and our grandchildren are stumbling around in spiritual ignorance, not knowing what to do in everyday circumstances because they haven't been taught the word of God. They haven't been taught how to hear God's voice, how to be led by the Spirit of God, how to apply the word of God in their lives. So they're stumbling around. I want you to imagine tonight a world where our children and our grandchildren are plunging into spiritual darkness, into despair, into depression. Well, I've got good news for you tonight. That is never going to happen on our watch, because by God's grace, we are going to pass down the knowledge that we have of God's word, and we're going to equip the next generation. We're going to empower the next generation with the word of God so they will be strong and mighty in God's word. We are going to help shape their future by giving them the word of God. And it is such a pleasure for me to stand before you tonight, and I see Dr. Alan and Janine, and they've passed the word down to Joshua, who preached up a soul, down to their daughters who preach up a storm, and they are passing down the word of God. No wonder they are successful, because they put the word in the next generation. And it is up to us to pass down the knowledge that God's given us of his word to the next generation. Do you know that in 2018, a documentary film was called The Elephant Queen was released. It was filmed in Kenya. It took about 4 years to film. It tells a remarkable story about a matriarch elephant named Queen. She was approximately 50 years old, and the film captures her tenacity and her strength and her courage and her leadership skills as she led her herd, her daughters, her siblings, and her extended family, and they went on a 200-mile journey through the African savannah. And here she drew lessons that she had learned from her mother, that were passed down from her mother, and she was able to navigate this herd through the African savannah, through dry desert, to come to life-giving water, which was 200 miles away. So Queen, she guided, she taught, she mentored the siblings and her daughters and her extended family how to find food and how to protect the young from predators such as lions. You could see incredible strong bond in the herd of elephants. If one of the elephants died, then you'd see that the other elephants didn't just disregard the body, but they gathered around the body and they mourned the body, but then they embraced the rest of the young herd so that not one elephant would be left alone to survive the wilderness on their own, but they embraced the rest of the siblings. The younger elephants, they had an opportunity now to learn from the older elephants that were in the group. A few years ago when we went on safari, we heard about a couple of young bull elephants that were in the Karuga National Park that were causing chaos. So you know how they got them to stop causing chaos? They got a couple of bulls, old big bull elephants from Kenya. They brought down the big bulls and they brought them into the herd, and suddenly the young elephant bulls started to behave. Why? Because they knew the authority. When an older bull came into the room and into the herd, they knew we better behave. And so the older elephants taught the younger elephants how to behave. And I want to say tonight that I'm so grateful the older elephants that are in the room, because we need you to teach the younger people on how to behave in the kingdom of God. Teach them the word of God. Now, so they were able to share their knowledge, including survival skills and communications. Do you know that elephants can actually hear up to a mile away? So this passing down of knowledge and wisdom from one generation to another not only guarantees that the elephant population survives year after year, but actually thrives year after year because of the knowledge and the wisdom that is passed down from one generation to the other. Now, you know that we are not much different from elephants. Because elephants love to live in a tight knit community. They like to be together. They like to be social creatures. And we as humans are social creatures. We want to find our tribe, as it were. We want to find the club. We want to be in a gang. We want to be in a community. We want to be in CFC family because CFC is our home. We want to find a place where we belong, where we fit in. And I believe it's time, family, that men and women, that we stand up and we start teaching the younger generation about the things of God. It's our time to guide. It's our time to mentor. It's our time to disciple the younger generation so they don't only survive, but they thrive their journey called life. I'm sure you will agree with me that we are facing an overload of negative social media. It's causing immeasurable harm. Lies are spewed out constantly of how we should look, how we should behave, how we should model our, who we should model our lives after. Our Christian values are, and traditions and moral are under attack every single day. Good is betrayed as evil. Evil is betrayed as good. Our kids are bombarded with stuff like gender identity confusion. Many young people think they dogs, some think they cats. And in my daughter's, my granddaughter's school, they even put a litter box for those kids who think they are cats because they wear a tail. I listened to a podcast recently where one young lady, she thought that she has galactic family and she said she doesn't mind. She identifies as a human, but if her child comes out looking like an alien, that's okay. Let me explain something to you. When God made you a male, when God made you a female, God was not confused. He made you a male. If you've got a male part, you're a male. If you're a female, you're a female part, you're a female. Do not be confused. And we need to teach our children the truth because only the word of God is the truth and the truth will set them free. And we need to set the next generation free in Jesus' name. It's our responsibility, family, to stand up, be counted, be a man, be a woman of God, and teach the truth. Psalm 78, verse 1 in the GNT translation says, "Listen, my people, listen to my teachings, and pay attention to what I say. I'm going to use wise sayings and explain mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known that our ancestors have taught us. We will not keep them from our children, but we will tell the next generation about the Lord's power, His great deeds, and the wonderful things that He has done. He gave laws to His people of Israel and commandments to the sons of Jacob. He instructed our ancestors to teach His laws to their children." Listen, family, so that the next generation might learn them and in turn tell their children. In this way, they will also put their trust in God and not forget what He has done and always obey His commandments. So from this psalm, we are compelled not only to know God's word, but we are compelled to share God's word. We are compelled to share the goodness of God. We are compelled to share the God kind of faith. We are compelled to share the miracles. We are compelled to tell our children about the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. We are compelled to tell the next generation that God loves them and He cares. He's got a plan for their life. It is up to us to share the love of God, not only to our generation, but to the next generation. We are to tell our young people what the real heroes look like, the real heroines. Who are they? Many thousands of people today are following movie stars, singers. And of course, right now, the flavor of the month is Taylor Swift. She is the latest billionaire. Does she follow Christ? Is she the heroine we should be telling our children about? To be acting like? I don't think so. I think we should be telling our children what real heroes look like, what real successful life looks like. Real heroes in the Bible, real heroines in the Bible. I think of David, a young 17-year-old shepherd boy who said, I have a covenant with Almighty God, and that Goliath, he might come to me, but I know in whom I put my trust. And I will take the head of that Goliath and I will slay him because I know I have a covenant with God. That is a real hero. A young man who said, I'll stand up for God. Then you think of Joseph, another young man. He was stolen. He was taken away from his family. He was sold like a slave. But do you know what? He kept his heart right. He kept his heart in the right position, and God elevated him through trials, the thick, the thin. But Joseph rose up and became second in command. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. That's a hero in the Bible. Those are the heroes we should be telling our children about. And then there's Deborah. Oh, I love Deborah because she said, come on, Barak, if you're too scared, follow me as I follow God, because I hear God and I'll take the army and we will win. We need Deborahs to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but I will hear the word of God. I will do the word of God and I will conquer in Jesus' name. We are overcomers in this life. We are overcomers in this life. We are in charge of this life. We have authority in this life. We are rulers in this life. We have authority over every sickness, disease. We have authority over the devil. He's under our feet in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's who we are. I think of the midwives in here in the Pharaoh's days, when the Pharaoh said to the midwives, you're to kill all the baby Jewish boys. But what did the midwives say? They said, I fear God more than I fear man. We fear God more than we fear man. If our politicians tell us that we should disobey God, we've got to come to the place where we say, I follow God. I believe God. He will save me. He will deliver me. It does not matter what happens to me, because I fear God more than I fear man. Those are the heroines that we should telling our children about. Glory to God. There are so many. There's Ruth, who left idol worship to follow her mother-in-law. Who does that? Follow the mother-in-law, because the mother-in-law followed God. Glory to God for good mother-in-laws, right? I am one. Hallelujah. But I believe that we should teach our children the ways of the Lord. I believe God is raising up a new generation of men and women, all ages. He's raising us up at a time such as this. We are born for a time such as this. While each and of us are breathing, it's because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I'm going to ask you tonight, will you carry the move of God in your heart? Will you be in the company of people say, yes, Pastor Bev, I will say yes to God, no matter what the cost. I will say yes to God, his plan for my life, and I will carry it out no matter what the cost. How many people will say yes to the plan of God for their lives? How many are going to be brave warriors in Jesus? How many are going to say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior? I'm going to be a destiny changer. I'm going to be a history maker. I'm going to be an influencer in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This is time that God's raising you up, family, to change not only schools and homes, but he wants to use you to change this nation. Many people have said to me, Pastor Bev, you're such a strong person, but who influenced your life? Who helped shape your world? Undoubtedly, my mother. She was my mentor, my coach, and eventually my very best friend. She was a matriarch in our family. I'd like to just pause there for a moment and say she was a matriarch in our family. She was a leader, because my dad, although he was a wonderful man, he was not a leader. And men, we need you. We need you to step up and be the leader in the home. And I'm so grateful, Apostle Alan, Dr. Janine, Apostle Theo, myself, and all these men and women of God, we are so proud of all the men that are in the house tonight. We say thank you for stepping up and leading your families. Thank you for being men of God who will lead your family. But remember, men, if you don't step up, women are going to step up. That's just the way it is, because we are resilient, we're strong, we're courageous, and if you don't take your place, unfortunately, we will. We absolutely will. So we need strong men. We need strong men to rise up and take their place. Now, in our household where I was growing up, my dad, I love him, he was born again, he loved God, but he was not a strong leader, so my mom had to stand up. Someone has to. And so she had to step up and be the leader. It's not the way God wants. God wants a man to be the head of the home, and he wants a man to lead their family. But obviously, if a man is not going to do his job, and I love my father, he's in heaven, and I'll talk about it later to you, Lord, and to my father, but it is what it is. And so I want to tell you about my mom, because she was such a huge influence in my life. She was born in 1931. She was born Lady Sheila Anderson. My mother was born with a title. She was a lady. I was meant to have the title Lady Beverly, but my mom didn't think it was appropriate for our generation to carry a title, because she said, Bev, you don't need a title to be a strong woman of God. You don't need a title to accomplish what God has for your life. You just need to be a hearer of the word and a doer of the word and get on with it. So as my mom was born 1931 in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe now, and she was born to a very wealthy family who neglected to show her the love and the attention that every child craved. She was sent to boarding school at the age of 6, where she spent most of the holidays, the school holidays, either alone at boarding school, or if a friend asked her to go to home with them, she would then go to a friend's house. My mother has no memories of her mother ever expressing any love to her, never said to her, Sheila, I love you, never put her on her knee and put her arms around and say, Sheila, I love you. She has no memories of any kind of love. My mom decided to go nursing straight after school, and she qualified as a nursing sister. And then the first man who proposed to her, she married, which is my father, Leader Williams. And they had 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. How many eldest kids are in the house? If you're the eldest kid, let me see. You know, the eldest kid always want to be in charge. They want to be in charge of you. They want to be in charge of family. They're always in charge. How many middle? How many of you in the middle? I'm a middle child. We kind of go with the flow. And then the youngest, they spoil rotten, right? They just get spoiled, the little ones, right? So I'm the middle child. So my mom and dad, when they got saved, God sort of speaks to my mom in dreams, and he told her in a dream that she should pack up her family and leave Zimbabwe. So with a pioneering spirit, she packed up. We were the last family that was allowed to leave Zimbabwe with £1,000 in our pockets. Actually, we were going to go to Australia. We were going to immigrate to Australia, but when my mom and dad found the Cape and came to the Cape, my mom and dad fell in love with the beautiful Cape, who doesn't, and decided to settle here. They started a company, a real estate company, and did very well. And, you know, sometimes when you're very successful and you don't have God as the center of your marriage and your home, then things don't work out right, because God has to be your firm foundation. And so during the early 70s, my mom and dad went through a very difficult divorce, and my dad went back to his brother's farms in Zimbabwe at the time, and they and his brothers owned large tobacco farms. So my mom moved back to Durban, and having the responsibility now to feed, to clothe, and to educate 3 children. And I wonder how many of you are here today, and you say, Pastor Bev, I can identify with that. I'm on my own, whether you're male or female, it's immaterial, and I've got to educate, feed, and clothe my children. Well, I'm glad you're here, because I want you to know tonight that you're not on your own, that with God, all things are possible, and God can help you. Now, you know, in those days in South Africa, a woman did not have a personal tax ID number. Did you know that? If they bought a car, they had to have their husband sign for the car. Mm-hmm. If they bought property, their husband had to sign with them, because women did not have their own tax ID numbers. But I praise God for a mother who was courageous and strong, and she decided, this is not it. I've got 3 kids to educate. I've got my husband's debts that I've got to pay. And so I need to get my own tax ID number. And so my mother was the only woman, although 3 women applied for it at that time, but she was the only woman who went and sat outside the Receiver of Revenue office. She sat outside there until he would see her. Well, he didn't want to see her, so she bought a big basket of books and says, that doesn't matter, I'm an avid reader. I can read until he can make time for me. And so she just sat there day after day. On the third day, I guess he got irritated with this woman sitting outside his office who wouldn't leave, so he led her in. And she said respectfully, sir, women in South Africa have no tax ID number. I'm a woman on my own. My husband is in, my ex-husband is now in Zimbabwe, and I cannot run to him every 5 minutes when I need to get something. If I want to buy property, if I want to do business, I can't be running up and down to get his signature. So she said, I really want you to change the law in South Africa so that the women of South Africa can have their own tax ID number. Well, do you know, because of my mother, every single woman in South Africa now has a tax ID number. My mother put her shoulder to history. She gave it a shove, and it's still moving today. And God wants to raise you up, ordinary, everyday people who say, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be a history maker and a destiny shaker. Glory to God. Thank God for my mother who spoke up for the women in this country. Thank God for you, because I know you're going to do things that are unusual. God's going to use extraordinary people to do extraordinary things, because that's who you are. Once again, my mom did something unusual. She decided she'll enter the world of commercial industrial property, because now she wanted to put her two children in private schools. I did not want to go to private school because I felt they were all stuck up. And I felt quite at home with everybody. So my brother went to Hilton College and my sister went to a private school here in Rondebosch. I went to Rustenburg Girls, and I loved it. And so she went for an interview in those days, you know, not like today, but in those days, it was male-only, female-only jobs in the newspaper. Today, you dare not put that, because you'd be saying, they say you are discriminating against an agenda. But in those days, it was male jobs, female jobs. So my mom decided, well, to get more money, I must go for a male job. So she went to an interview to sell commercial industrial real estate. And then the boss said to her, you're a woman, it's not for women, it's for men. So she said, but you don't know me. She said, I can outsell all these men. She sounds like my husband, right? She says, I can do better than all these men in this office if you just give me a chance. They said, okay, we'll give you a chance, but because you're a woman, we'll put you in the passage. We'll give you a desk, but you will have no telephone and you will have no secretary. So that's really this gender discrimination. Once again, my mom felt rejected because of her gender. She was rejected from her family. She never felt the love of her family. Now she goes to get a job and she's rejected again. But I love my mom, because even though she suffered injustice, life didn't seem fair for her or easy for her at all. But however, she would not allow anything to deter her or get her down. She was such a determined woman. She had a will to win. She was determined. She had a heart to succeed, and she was a fighter, and she quickly rose to the top, and she won the real estate award on more than 3 occasions in that office. Glory to God. And that's what when I look at you today, I see that you're fighters. I see that you're rising to the top. I realize that no man will keep you down. No woman will keep you down. No devil will keep you down, because you're rising to the top and you're winners, you're overcomers, and you're more than conquerors. And I see that because Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you're going to rise to the top and become everything that God has called you to become. So she won the real estate awards more than 3 times. So everything my mom did in life, she did with excellence. And the reason I want to share that story with you today is because perhaps you've never had the love of a parent, you've never felt the love of a parent, but the good news is when you know the truth will set you free and you will live a life full of purpose and destiny, glory to God. As my husband always says, it's not how we start that matters, it's how we end up that counts. And so it's not about our beginning, it's not about our upbringing, it's about what we're doing with our life, taking responsibility for where we are now, trusting God to lead us and guide us, and we will be successful. And so today, I have, my husband has taught me everything I know about the Word of God, and for that, I want to honor him and give the Lord glory for bringing me such a good, strong man in my house, my life. Now, when we were first married, because I came out of my mom's house, I felt she was the boss, so I thought I was the boss. But you know, when you meet a bull, he sorts you out. He sorted me out. And look at me today. I'm so sweet and loving and kind. So submissive. I am. And he always says, in Jesus' name. But we haven't ended our life yet. We're still growing and growing and growing, right? But today I prepared four simple lessons. I call them life legacy lessons that I learned from my mum. And I wondered if I could pass them down to you. Would you like to know what they are? Life legacy number one, if you want to write it down, life legacy number one is she instilled the value of my worth. She instilled in me the value of my worth. Say this with me. I must know the value of my worth. Not a day went by without my mom telling me, Bev, you're beautiful, you're funny, you're determined, you're wonderful, you're creative. She told me how much God loved me. So I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was loved by God. I knew that she loved me. In fact, I thought I could do anything, I could become anything because of the worth that she instilled me. She told me who I was in Christ Jesus. It was only when I went to the ministry that my challenges began. Isn't that something? But the strong survive. The strong survive. And so you might say, well, possibly if that's great for you, you have such a wonderful mother instilled love in you, because I had a traumatic upbringing. In fact, I had no love whatsoever. Well, I'm glad that you're here today, because even if you were rejected, neglected, as my mom was, I want to affirm you today as I have affirmed my children. And I want to remind you of God's truth, because the Word of God is truth, and that will never change. So I want to tell you today who you really are. It's not what people say about you. It's not what your mother said about you or father said about you. I want you to know that you're important, that you're valuable, that you're unique, you're wonderful, that you're one of a kind. There's no one like you. No one has your DNA. No one has your fingerprint. No matter what people have said about you, it's not important. The only thing that's important is what God says about you. It's not about how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you made in your life. No matter how many times you've been divorced or wrong choices or fallen down. You must know that God loves you. Our actions, our mistakes, our past never determines God's love for us. Before you were even born, God had a plan for your life. He's chosen you. He's handpicked you. You're anointed of God. You're appointed by God. He's got a plan, a wonderful plan for your life. Do you know, if we know our identity and our worth in Christ, we will never worry what other people say about us. They can say we're dumb, we're stupid, we're fat, we're ugly. It doesn't matter. Whatever they say, you know, we all use computers, right? Remember, there's a delete button on the computer. And And so when they say you're dumb, you're ugly, you're stupid, you know what I do? Delete, 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 delete with a smile. You just smile and say delete, 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 delete. Because if you know who you are, you're a daughter of King, you're a son of the God of God, you're mighty in God, you're strong in God, you're an overcomer in God, then it doesn't matter what their opinion counts, because their opinion doesn't matter, doesn't, it's like water off a duck's back, it doesn't, it's like nothing. It means nothing. And you know, if you know who you are in Christ, I promise you, family, you can meet anybody. You can know who you are. You can stand before kings, because you know they might be an earthly king, but you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Glory. And so they might be kings and queens, but you are too. But you're a king and queen of God, and he loves you, and he's got a plan for your life, and you're worthy. You're so worthy, and you've got to understand that you're worthy, and your life counts, and God has a plan for your life. And you know, if we know our identity in Christ, we will understand that God has an incredible plan for our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and the SEV says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say this with me. My value is not in what I do, nor in what others think about me. My value is not in my children, not in my position, not in my possessions, but my value is in Christ. Christ is living his life through me. Say, I am loved and valued by God. So let's make a decision today to affirm one another, to affirm our children, to affirm our husbands, our wives, and to affirm friends around us. You know, family, once we know our identity in Christ, we can move to a second lesson, and the second lesson is destiny. We will never know our destiny unless we know our identity. But if we know our identity, we can go to the second lesson, which is destiny. So my mom always says, so our lesson, legacy lesson number two is destiny. My mom always said to me, Bev, take time to find out what you love to do and do that to be the best of your ability, be excellent at it, or she said, don't do it at all. She said, don't do anything half measured and do not allow anybody to put limitations on you, because if you can believe it, God can do it. If you can believe it, God can do it. Do not allow anyone to put limitations on you. Don't allow them to put you in a box. Don't allow them to tell you what you should do or should you shouldn't do. You listen to God for yourself and do what he tells you to do. She reminded me all the time that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how do you find your destiny, you might ask? Well, I was 19 years of age when I asked the same question. And my mom said to me, Bev, if you were to buy a car and something went wrong with the car, you would go to the manufacturer and the manufacturer would tell you how to drive your car. If you bought a washing machine and it's not working, then you go to the manufacturer. So go to your manufacturer, which is God. He knows how to get you working, because he made you. He made all the parts. He made you. He put you together. So he's your manufacturer. So go to him, and he's going to tell you what you should do in life. And so I went to God, spent time with God, and asked him what he wanted me to do with my life. So then she said, look at practical things, Bev. What are you good at? What do you love to do? And what brings you joy? And then build on that. Mike Murdoch says this, what you love to do is a clue to the gift and the wisdom you possess to complete your assignment. So Mike Murdoch says, what you love is a clue to the gifts and the wisdom that you possess to complete your assignments. One of my mom's favorite poems, I'm going to read it to you. She read it to me many times, and it's called, It's Up to You. If you think you're a winner, you'll win. If you dare to step out, you'll succeed. Believe in your heart, have a purpose to start, aim to help a fellow man is need. Thoughts of faith must replace every doubt. Use words of courage, and you cannot fail. But if you stumble and fall, rise and stand 10 feet tall, because you determine the course that you sail. In other words, it doesn't matter if you stumble and fall in life, but family, please get up. Don't sit on that couch on your blessed assurance. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. You get up. If you stumble and fall, you rise up and you stand 10 feet tall, because you determine the course that you sail. In other words, ask God to lead and guide you, and then get up and get on with it, and you will succeed. Legacy lesson number 3. Are you ready? Say attitude. Okay, how many of you have ever heard people say, well, that person has got attitude? Well, watch this space. One of our grandchildren, we got 7, but one of them is gifted by God in the area of sports. He's like secretariat. He runs like the wind. If he's a football player, he's a star. If he's a track sprinter, he's a star. If he plays baseball, he's a star. He's gifted of God. So one night, Candace and I were at the track meet watching Uriah Barnes. Watch that name, because watch that space. One day, he will be an NFL star. And so he was running in this race. So then Candace said, Mom, please come in and be with me at the track meet. Well, you know, Candace had 3 boys, and then she really believed God for the little girl, Faith. And so little Faith is 2 now. So of course, the last lot, Lamiki, the little girl, you know how spoiled the last one is, right? So she's spoiled. So we're sitting at the track meet, and then Rye is about to run. It's a very important race. And so Candace gets on her phone, and she says, Mummy, please may I have your phone? And she said, no, Faith, I'm on the phone. So she said, in front of all the mothers, you are on the phone day and night, day and night. Mommy, give me your phone. You are on the phone day and night. Candace said, Faith, you might be my miracle child, but I'll have to spank your behind, because that's attitude, right? So we're talking about attitude. A positive attitude can greatly enhance our chances of success in life, and it is one of our most important assets that we have, is a positive attitude. John Maxwell said, rarely have I seen anything that can be so powerful as a person's attitude, and rarely have I seen anything that can be so devastating. For some, their attitudes find opportunity in every difficulty. Others find difficulty in every opportunity. Some climb obstacles with a positive attitude, while others fall because of a negative outlook. Our attitude will either attract success or repel it. And you say, how is that possible, Pastor Babe? Well, attitude is a choice. Say that. Attitude is a choice. It's not due to circumstances or feelings. That should not determine our attitude. Now, more than 30 years ago, I had a bad attitude. My husband and I were on the board meeting in those days in Johannesburg. And in those days, the husband and wife were allowed to be on the financial board. But one day, while we're sitting around this big board, a table with all these people who belong to the board, a gentleman from another church came in and said, do you know that the laws have changed in the country? The pastor's wife is not allowed to be on the same board as her husband. So, Pastor Bev, you need to leave, because this is, you're not allowed to be on the board anymore. So because my mother had brought me up correctly, I didn't throw a fit, I didn't stamp my feet, I didn't act like a child. I got up like a lady and left. I might have looked like a lady, but inside me, I was spitting mad. I was so cross. And I thought, fine, I'm going to go right home right now, and I'm going to call my mother. I'm hurt, I'm offended, and I've got a bad attitude, and I am going to call my mother, because the truth of the matter is, I was there in the beginning when we started that church. That man wasn't there in the beginning when we started that church. When I went out and gave the flyers in the parking lot, was that bald man there? No, he wasn't there. I was there. And who was there? Was he there when he was praying on his knees, trusting God for people to come to church? He wasn't there, but I was there. And so then when we started the church, and you know, my husband, he's beautiful, but in those days, he was more beautiful. And in those days, he had big shoulders. And in those days, you know, he was big and strong. He's still big and strong, but not like those days. And although he's beautiful and big and strong, I love him just as he is. But you know, why is it, Joy, that our church grew with more women? Oh, yeah. And so, when the women came in those days for prayer, it didn't seem to be any men who had a problem. Oh, but the young woman seemed to have all the problems. And you know, in those days, not only when they came for prayer, in those days, they didn't fall backwards, but they seemed to want to fall on top of my husband each and every time. In those days, was that man there? No. And in those days, I had to sort the women out. But I was a young pastor's wife, so I didn't know. All I knew that I went in my protective mode, and if you're going to come against my man, you know you're going to come against the bear in me. He's going to rise up. My claws are going to go out, and I'm going to decapitate you in a nice way. And so what I did was I either gently shoved them so they fell backwards when no one was looking, or else I kicked them on the shin very firmly so they would catch a clue, this is the wrong way, boom. And so they would go the wrong way. I didn't tell my husband my tactics, but it was working for me in those days. But that's, I mean, I look after my man. I don't need anyone else. Come in my space. It's not going to happen. Never. But I was young and I was inexperienced. But was he there? That man? Did he help me? No, he wasn't. So then I called my mother and I said, Mom, now you know my mother, she's my biggest cheerleader. She helps me, she coaches me, she mentors me. I knew she would be on my side. And so I called her, Mom, you need to come over. I'm having a bit of a meltdown at the house. I'm having a bit of a moment. So she came over and she said, what's the problem? I said, Mom, I'm on the board. And I told her the whole story. Was he there? No. Did he help us? No. Did he start the church? No. Did he pray? No. Did he kick the woman? No. Did he shove them back? No. He wasn't there for any of that. Did he pray? No. But he kicked me off the board. I'm hurt, Mom. I'm offended. So she said, Bev, I'm going to teach you one of the most important lessons that you ever can learn if you are teachable, if you will receive it. It'll stand you good for the rest of your life. So I said, yes, Mom, I am teachable. She said, okay, you know, Rob and I, that was her husband, we work in the office together in the commercial industrial real estate, and we work on different business deals. She said, I know that. And she said, Rob and I have come to the agreement that we do what's best for the deal. We do what's best for the deal. In other words, she said, if I'm the right person to go and do the business deal, I will go. If Rob is the right person to go and do the business deal, it doesn't matter who goes to do the business deal, because we want the business and we do what's best for the deal. And she said, now, Bev, we are not wrapped up in who does the job, as long as the job gets done. As long as a job gets done. You see, Bev, it's not about you, she said. It's not about how you feel, how you've been shunned, rejected. It's not a personal thing. It's not that, it's got nothing to do with you. Ministry, this is not your business. This is God's business. This is His ministry. And Bev, you've got to look at the bigger picture. She said, you've got to do what's best for the deal. Say, do what's best for the deal. You got to do what's best for church. She said, if you can remember this, you won't be offended along the way. What pearls of wisdom that came from my mom, and I took it to my heart. And I always remember, do what's best for the deal. In other words, in everyday life, look at the bigger picture. Don't only look what's good for us, but what's good for the family. What's good for the church? What's good for your life group? What's good for Bible school? What's good for your home group? If you weren't chosen to be a deacon or an usher, it doesn't matter. Your turn is coming. Do what's best for the deal. Let's not have a bad attitude because we weren't chosen, because we got to do what's best for the deal. And you know, when it comes to our families and our children, it's not always what we want to do. What do they want to do? What's best for the family in our jobs? It's not always what my idea is, but what's best for the deal? So we've got to decide what is best for the deal. What's best in our homes? It's not always about me. It's not always what I want to do. It's what is the best for the family? What's best for the deal? So a positive attitude can empower us to overcome challenges and really persevere during tough times. And having a great positive attitude is essential to unlocking the full potential that God has for us, and we can reach our goals. I've tried my best to be positive, and it's helped me along my journey of life. And I believe that if we all have a positive mindset, we can fulfill the goals that God has given us, and we can fulfill and reach our full potential. Okay, lesson number four. This is our last lesson for the evening. It's keep on living. Say, I must. Keep on living. This is legacy lesson number four. In early December 2007, my husband woke up one morning and told me that the Lord had clearly spoken to him and told him that my mum was going to go home to be with the Lord soon and that I must spend as much quality time that I could with her. She was living in South Africa. We were living in America at the time. And so my mom and Rob were going to come to have spent Christmas holidays with us. And we were so excited. And I couldn't wait to see her. And when she came, I realized she wasn't walking with the same strength that she was. And I took her to the bedroom and I said, "Mom, do you want to tell me something? What is going on?" And so she said, "Babe, I've been to the doctor and I've got liver cancer and I've got 6 months to live." Now, you must understand, she had the cancer before, and we fought the good fight of faith together, and we overcame that cancer. And so I knew that we could do it again. I said, "Mom, we can do this again. We've done it before. We will overcome." But I could tell in her heart that I felt that she really wanted to go home to be with the Lord, because my brother died when he was 22, and I really felt that she missed him. She wants to go be with Jesus and she wants to see her son. And so we spent the most wonderful Christmas together. And then my mom and Rob, they left to come back to South Africa. Well, that was in December. Let's fast forward now to April. In April, I believed my mom was well, but in the meantime, her health began to deteriorate rapidly. But the thing is, in April, it was my husband's 60th birthday. And if you get to know me, I like to do everything bigger and better and above and beyond. I'm just, it's the way I am. I'm just, everything must be extravagant and over the top. And so I wanted to have this amazing party for him. We rented a ballroom in one of the best hotels downtown. We got a band. So because in San Antonio, everybody likes dancing. So we got a band for all, everybody. People were flying in from Miami and all over from Florida. "Did you come?" Stephen and Jill were there. They came and they flew in and everybody was there. And it was going to be the most wonderful evening of our lives. So we're going to celebrate and honor my husband. But 2 hours before the party began, I got a phone call from Rob, my stepdad, to say that my mom had slipped into a coma and she could go to be with the Lord any moment. So now I'm upstairs in the hotel room. I'm doing my hair and makeup. I'm putting on my long, beautiful black dress that I got for that evening. And I knew that my mom, she could actually go and be with the Lord during our celebration where I'm honoring my husband. And so I had this conflict in my heart and my soul. And I thought, "Mom, I love you with all my heart. You've mentored me. You've done everything. And so, Mom, what would you like me to do now?" And I heard her voice in my head. And she said, "Bev, you would have to do the right thing. You would have to do what's best for the deal." I could hear her saying that. And she would say, you're not going to fall into a heap of emotions. You're going to get it together. And you're going to celebrate your husband's birthday. You're going to honor him. Because, Bev, you've got to keep on living. So that night I was getting ready and I decided I'm going to celebrate my husband. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to give him lots of love and attention and laughter. No one that evening could tell the inward feelings that was going through my heart. No one could tell that my mom, the one that I looked up to, that taught me everything that I knew in my life until I married my husband, the closest person to me, no one could tell that she was slipping away and maybe going to the Lord. And so that night I celebrated my husband. I loved him, I honored him, we all did. And then straight after the party, I went upstairs and spoke to my stepdad. I said, Rob, how was mom? And he said, she's still in the coma. That was Friday night. Well, Saturday afternoon, we got the call to say that my mom had gone home to be with the Lord. Of course, my husband and I cried and we mourned for my mother. And the following week, my body was numb and I know what it feels like to feel grief and pain of losing someone you absolutely looked up to, admired. But I know that if my mom was here today, she would say, Bev, I am where we're all going to be. So in the meantime, Bev, you've got to keep on living. In the meantime, you got to get up and you keep on loving. You got to keep having a good attitude. You got to reach your goals, babe. You got to reach out to others. Be a great wife, a mother, pastor's wife, a nana. She would say, don't mourn for me. I'm going to see you soon. And the reason why I wanted to share that lesson with you today is because many of you have gone through trials and tribulations and hurts and tragedies, and you might feel that I cannot go on. You might feel like you're stuck in despair and disappointment. But my message is to you today, just like my mom. And she would say, come on, you got to get up and begin to live again. You got to get up and dream again. You got to get up and begin to dance again. You got to get up and laugh again. You got to get up, and while you got breath in your lungs, God is not finished with you yet. He's not done with you yet. You don't have to live in a numb state of go on automatic pilot. God is good when life is not fair. God wants to lift you up above your hurt, your pains. With God's help, we can turn tragedies into triumphs, messages into messages, bad news into good news. God doesn't want you to endure life. God wants you to live life. God wants you to love life. You can be an inspiration to others. Your life can count. You can have purpose. You can have destiny. This is your day. This is your hour. Will you say to me, yes, Pastor Babe? Will you seize the moment? Will you say, yes, I choose to keep on living? I'm not going to let the devil keep me down one more day, one more hour, one more month. I'm going to get up and I'm going to run and I will not be weary. I'm going to walk and I will not faint.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.